Welcome this morning. If you are visiting with us, we are glad to have you. I know there's a couple of people visiting with us because we have a prospective youth and associate pastor to come and speak to us this morning, John Loggins, and he's brought his family with him, his wife Melissa, and then two of their 10 children, correct? Piper and Sadie. And so I learned two of the kids' names. I know one of the boys' names. I'll have to remember that little one's name. I just call him Twosome. He's a two-year-old. So, well, you'll get more introduced to John in a little bit. It is an exciting morning for us, as every worship day should be, as we come to be in the midst of one another and especially in the presence of our Lord. So we're glad you're here today. If you indeed are visiting with us, there's a little attachment on our worship bulletin. You can take that off on the perforated part. Fill that card out so we know you were here. Put it in the offering plate when that comes by in a little while. That way we can make contact with you and say thank you for being here and see if there's anything we can do to minister to you. Also, the plate is full. I have announcements right before me. Mary Hill Davis, we are beginning our week of observance for state missions, and Mary Hill Davis is a state, Texas state emphasis on missions. Pray about how God would move you to give so that missions in Texas, and that's a plethora of ways to minister to people, that these funds go to help those who are serving on the field. And you want to be a part of that. There are envelopes in the pew backs in front of you. Put that offering there when the Lord prompts you to do so, and we'll see how the Lord uses that in the days to come. Children's choir begins tonight at 5:30, and so want you to bring your children. I will be here in the sanctuary at 5:30 teaching about the temporary and the eternal, as the Apostle Paul teaches, and so I encourage you to be here tonight. Fifth Sunday Sing is coming up on September the 29th. The sign-up sheet is at the Welcome Center for those that would like to make a presentation through song, even testimony, read scripture, opportunity to celebrate together. So be mindful of that. We do have a memory verse that we need to give attention to, and so if you will, stand with me at this time. Memory verse, we'll put it up on the screen, brother. Psalm 27:13, and let's read this together. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. Y'all did pretty good for not having it in front of you. I have a screen with it written right there. It was very easy for me. Let me repeat it again. Psalm 27:13. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 27:13. You people that were in Bible drill. Listen, that passage of Scripture is powerful. If you could not only commit it to your heart, but believe that passage. God has hope for those who belong to Him. And things we go through in life can be difficult and hard and troubling and just make us want to get out of here. But do not despair, because one day the Lord's promise, for those who belong to Him, you will see His face and you'll experience His goodness in the land of the living. Where is that? In His very presence. Christ has promised that. I go to prepare a place for you so that one day I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. You know, that's what heaven's going to be. Harps and angels and golden streets and all of that. It's going to be maybe a sidebar. Being in the presence of the Lord is the gift. That is our goal. And so we should commit this verse not only to memory but to heart, and then live that way. That I'm not despairing, because I know one day I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. All right, I'll preach my sermon. That's all you get out of me today. Please be seated at this time. At the end of the service, we will be voting on John Loggins to be a youth slash associate pastor here at First Baptist Church, and so I'll be calling you into a meeting. The committee that put this together, the search committee, will be passing out some ballots, and I just want to say, it's going to say Edna First Baptist Church calls John Loggins to be our youth and associate pastor. There is a place for yes and a place for no. I'm going to tell you now, and I'll tell you later. Circle your answer. Yes, circle. If you want to say no, that's up to you. Don't circle no. Circle yes if you desire for him to be your servant here in our midst. And we'll give instructions again a little bit later. Thank you so much for your attention to these things. Please read your bulletin. You do have an insert regarding the missions emphasis, and there's like a prayer booklet where you can read through and find how Texas Missions is working to the cause of Christ and how your monies can help in that situation. Is that it? Okay, we have a deacon to pray. John Shutt will come and lead us in our prayer this morning, and so let's pray together.
Lord God, I was glad when they said, let us worship in the house of the Lord. Amen. Father, it's always so wonderful to be gathered with my brothers and sisters into your family that you've redeemed through Christ our Lord. Father, this day is such a special day for us as we look to call a new minister into this church. I ask, and we all pray, I'm sure, your very blessings on this whole morning, that you would be glorified, Lord God, that the things that we sing about, the things that we hear preached about, would honor you, Lord God, and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, everything's fine as long as technology works right. Okay. But once we restart everything, got it, hopefully it'll stay. I'll be checking into that. I think we're starting to have a little hardware issue because these were used screens when we bought them and all. But let's pray that they keep on working the service. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're visiting here with us, you know, or haven't been with us for a while, you will find that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is this church's firm foundation. We believe in that, and we want you to know that. So would you please stand as we sing Firm Foundation?
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad than I
Father, we just thank you so much for this day, this wonderful day that you've given us. And we do, Lord, we invite you in our presence today. Heavenly Father, be with us as we go through this day. Be with Brother John as he brings the message to us. May we hear it. May we listen intently. And as we move forward and take another step in the life of this church, Heavenly Father, guide and direct us. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. That empty grace, treasures that fade, are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Every day.
Thank you, choir, Houston, ladies, Lynette, Sheila. Sheila's still there. Well, this morning we come to a place where the beginning was 15 months ago when a search committee was formed and began work on seeking out someone to serve in our midst among our youth. And over the 15 months, many of you have been faithful to pray and to encourage and to lift up this committee as they've worked. And then also to pray for whoever the candidate would be, that God would bring that person here. And we've also on Wednesday nights been diligent to pray for our own hearts, that we would be receptive and ready for when the time comes, that our expectations aren't higher or lower than what God desires for us to have for someone to come serve in our midst, but that they would be what the Lord wants. And so this morning, we have John Loggins coming, and he will be preaching this morning. Part of his responsibility, and he is aware of this, slash associate pastor. Your pastor appreciates that there would be somebody on staff to help with ministerial opportunities and ways to visit folks when the pastor may not be able to, and to preach if the pastor gets sick, which has happened a couple of times. And so I think you'll find that Brother John is very capable. But as we listen this morning, that we would concentrate on what the Lord is directing us to this morning for the purpose of honoring the Lord and then for the benefit of this family as well as this church family. I think we're supposed to talk about he's got 10 kids, and there's supposed to be some pictures up here. There you go. There's the family together. Are there going to be names of each of these kids? All right. Every kid has a name, I guess. We have two of those with us today, and Sadie and Piper. You gals want to stand up? Piper first. Piper, there's Piper. And then Sadie, there she is. And of course, the mother, Melissa, she's here. And you'll probably see plenty of John here in a moment. He will come. Are we going to show pictures? That's it. Oh, the arrows are... I don't know all their names. Maddie. There you go. Gunner. Mia. We met her last time. Piper. She's here with us. Good. Granddaughter Casey. Little one. Tag. We met Tag about a month ago. Sadie's here. Hollis. Reese. Tanner. There's Tanner. Little two-year-old Tanner. He's fun. Maddie's hubby Worth is not pictured, but we'll probably see him at some point. So that's a lot of names to remember, brother. And just as you have a lot of names to remember here, you're kind of turning the tables on us if y'all should come. We'll have to remember a bunch of names. So let me pray as we enter into this time of listening to this young man speak. Father, we ask you not only to be in our midst, but Father, to speak into our lives through this messenger that has come today. Father, not only are we listening to see if we're going to call this fella, but we're listening to you speak through this messenger. And we pray, Father, that our hearts are receptive appropriately, that, Lord God, we would be filled and moved by your Spirit and by the truth of your word. Lord God, to respond as you desire. So, Lord, move in our midst. Use this messenger. I pray you fill him and anoint him powerfully this morning. And Lord God, give us ears to hear. And may you be honored through all that will take place here this morning. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. If you will, grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. What I would like to do this morning is, yes, I'm going to preach. But as I preach, I'm going to, because a lot of you don't know me at all. Some of you I've gotten to know well, and I am overtly thankful for Brother David Gregory. He was my first official friend, and I am thankful for the friendship that we've had. Our talks together have been wonderful and sweet, and truly is because of him, and I would say truly his love for the Lord. That's why I'm here today. If I didn't see his love for the Lord and his love for you guys, I would have never come. So I say thank you. I say thank you for the love that he has for Christ and his love for you guys. And so I'm here today. So as I preach today, for those of you that have never gotten a chance to know me, maybe you've never shaken my hand, maybe you didn't want to. That's quite all right. I want to give you my testimony of why I'm up here. Because my birthday was yesterday. I am 18 years strong. Okay, technically I'm 49. But I didn't want to be here. So for those of you that are teenagers way in the back up there this morning, I can see you guys. I can see you well. I thank you for being here. Now, I can tell you, I never had a desire to be here. And some of you are like, wait, whoa, pause. Let's fill out the form right now with a no. Okay? I grew up in a pastor's home. I am a third-generation pastor. My grandpa was a pastor for 50 years. My dad soon, if he's not already there, has now been a pastor for 50 years. I have an uncle who is going to be there real shortly. He's a pastor in Wisconsin. I have another pastor, another uncle who's a pastor in Wisconsin. I have another uncle who's a pastor in Ohio. And my other grandpa on my mom's side was a preacher of God's word. So growing up in a fishbowl, because that's what PKs are. Do I have any PKs here? Anybody else? Okay, yeah. Growing up in a fishbowl like we did, and I saw the struggle of my grandpa, and I saw the struggle of my dad, and as they preached the word of God faithfully, life's not always easy. And life has its struggles and difficulties. And in a church, as Pastor Robert knows well, there's definitely its ups and downs. And sometimes it seems like there's more downs than there are ups. Okay? So having grown up in that and seeing all that, and I am a very, my wife calls me energetic. I appreciate that nicely. I have a lot of energy and a lot of passion to me. My love was soccer. I love soccer. I ate, drank, and slept soccer. As much as I saw the football game on Friday, and you all eat, drink, and sleep football, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not preaching against that. I, too, ate, drank, and slept soccer. I love to run. You could not run me enough. I mean, when I say run, we're not talking about 100 yards, 800 yards. We're not talking a mile or 2 miles. I could keep going and going and going. There's a man that my wife follows on Instagram that he often runs over 100 miles at one time. I would like to get there. Call me crazy. It's all right. I enjoy the run. And as I run, I think. So it's not a bad thing. As long as my thoughts are founded in God's word, it's not a bad thing. But in doing all of my growing up and my soccer years, and by the way, kiddos, I am preaching to you, but I'm also preaching to the senior citizen today, because I think that which we talk about in God's word will encompass all of that. But as I grew up in a pastor's home, I said that, you know, what I really desire is I want to be successful in something. And since my love was soccer, I thought that, look, soccer could be my life. Soccer could be my goal. Soccer could be my everything. And my whole goal as a young teenager was that I would be the first million-dollar soccer player. Remember, I grew up in the 80s, so there wasn't a soccer player that I knew of yet that had reached that mark. And so my goal was that I wanted to be the very first million-dollar soccer player. So I gave myself to it. I poured myself into soccer. I would walk with the soccer ball. I was the first one to soccer practice. I was the last one to leave. When coach told us to stop running, I was the one that goes, "Ah, we have to stop running. Why are we stopping running? Why can't we keep going?" You couldn't give me enough to do. I loved it, and that was my passion. So as I grew up then, and by the way, let me back up, and I got saved October 23rd, 1983. I was 8 years old, unique. Of course, not only was I in church all the time for everything, but we also lived in the church. Have any of you ever lived in a church? I mean, legit lived in a church? Anybody all? Okay. I lived in the church. Yes, you're a janitor. That doesn't count. It's close, though. Close. But I mean, literally our kitchen was the church's kitchen. Our shower was in the church. We lived in the church. So that was what I knew. But I was 8 years old. I remember this super well. I was 8 years old. I was sitting, Brother David, about where you were. And it was a Sunday night. And for whatever reason, strange as it may be, the guest speaker that night preached in regards to heaven and hell. Preached in regards to who was going to heaven and those that had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And then he preached on hell and those that were going to go there and those that would end up there and those that would have for all of eternity that one day were going to be cast into the lake of hell. And that night, as an 8-year-old boy that grew up in church, the lights came on. And I realized that I was a sinner and that I was in need of a Savior. Up until that point, I could have quoted you, because I grew up in like an Awanas and a kids program. I could quote you the Romans Road. I could have quoted you the Romans Road. I could have quoted you the gospel through the book of John. I could have quoted you all those verses. But that night, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart and John Loggins realized I was a sinner. And I needed a Savior. And I can well remember walking from there, getting up and coming down and grabbing my grandpa's hand. My grandpa was a big man, big, big hands. And he swallowed my hand and he said, "John Loggins, why did you come forward tonight?" I said, "Grandpa, I need to be saved." And so my grandma, who was sitting over here, took me to the side and she opened God's word. And as she opened God's word and she goes, we're going to go through what the Bible says in regards to how a person can get saved. I said, "Grandma, I already know those verses." She goes, "I know you do, John, but we're going to go over them one more time." And so she walked me through the God's simple plan of salvation. And I trusted Christ as my own personal Savior. That was 8 years old. From 8, though, till I was 14 years old, my desire was not, sadly, what we're going to talk about today from Joshua 1:8. My desire was for myself. My desire was to live for me, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to try to get success in the way I thought I could by using my feet and my head with a soccer ball, and I wanted to get success through soccer. Fast forward all the way to the age of 14. And at the age of 14, that year we always had camp. We had summer camp, and our summer camp was kind of small. We had about 8 churches, maybe 10 churches that all got together, and we did camp. It was not as cool a country as what you have here in Texas. It's the flat land of Michigan. All we had was a bunch of canoes, a pond, and a big open space. We had to come up with our own games. We had to come up with our own fun, which usually involved water balloons, shaving cream, mud. That was it. But we had fun. I mean, we had a great time together, and all that we did was a blast, dunking each other in the pond and all that stuff. Well, that year, preceding up to it, I had sensed the Holy Spirit's tugging in my own heart and my life in regards to serving God. And as the Holy Spirit tugged in my life, there was this ginormous no from yours truly. God, no. Nope, nope, I won't do it. I'll have none of that. God, no. And from as I turned 14, as we were coming up to camp, the Holy Spirit kept tugging in my heart and my life, John, I'd like you to serve me. John, I want you to serve me. And I just kept stiff-arming God and saying, God, you've got the wrong person. It's not going to happen. I don't want to. 14 years old, camp starts. We had a special speaker in that year at camp that I knew well. He happened to be a family friend. His name was Dave Jaspers. He was an evangelist, but we knew him well. And as he preached that week, he actually preached out of the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the last few chapters of Deuteronomy, and he was going to bring into Joshua chapter 1. And he preached that week in regards to the nation of Israel being willing to put their faith in Jehovah God rather than themselves. And how that leading up to this point, the nation of Israel had leaned on their own understanding, and where had it gotten them? 40 years wandering in the wilderness because they chose self rather than God. And now they were at a point, and this is actually where we're at in Joshua chapter 1. They're at a point now where they're going to have to make a choice. They've made a bad choice up until now, and now they need to, by faith, trust God and trust God for everything. So as he preached, the Holy Spirit's tugging greatly on John Logan's heart, so much so where Thursday night came. And it was Thursday afternoon, and the Holy Spirit's working and tugging in my heart, John, I want you to serve me. John, I want you to give your life and surrender your life to me. And I said, God, I don't want to be poor. God, I don't like people. My dad likes people. My grandpa likes people. They talk to people, and they love shaking hands, and they like doing all the church stuff. But God, not me. I want to be famous. I want to be rich, and I love soccer. So God, that's what I want to do. Thursday afternoon, like I said, came. And so great was the work of the Holy Spirit and conviction on my heart and my life that the kid that's got ADD, and I'm not knocking ADD, I'm very busy, very energetic, lots of things to do. I'm like Hammy on Over the Hedge. My mind just goes like crazy. And so that person that's all involved in sports and all involved in fun and all that, I found myself literally out in front of the chapel, pacing back and forth, talking to God and saying, God, you've got the wrong person. God, why me? God, this doesn't make sense. You know my heart and you know my struggles and you know my difficulties and I can't do this. It's not possible. Again, Dad's good at what he does. He preaches and he preaches well, and Grandpa's good and he preaches God's word faithfully. And although there's been a lot of hurt and a lot of anxiety in regards to people that have hurt them, even as they've strove to minister to you, they still love the people. They have a true Moses' heart and they truly care and compassion. And God, I just don't know if I even have that. I know that I'm saved, but God, that's not me. God, choose my brother. God picks somebody else. You can take them, but not me. And the Holy Spirit's work, and this is where we talk about a call. It was so clear, so evident, so pointed right at John Loggins. I couldn't get away from it. So I paced back and forth and back and forth in front of the chapel. People, I'm sure that if anybody was actually watching, were like, what is wrong with that guy? My wife still asks that question. And I was going back and forth, and I just told God, no. God, I don't want to do it. God, I won't do it. Not me. Came to that night, Thursday night. He preached the concluding of the whole week. And like I said, man, that Holy Spirit's conviction, John Loggins, it's you. So too with that came the Holy Spirit saying, John, if I call you, I'm the one that gives you the words to say. I'm the one that enables you. I'm the one that will strengthen you. And I'm the one that goes with you. Which is exactly where we're going to come in Joshua 1:8. And I came to that service, and as he preached, he finally came to the conclusion. And teens, this is where you hate every preacher to come to, and you now have a choice. And he gave the call to, hey, if anybody here tonight is willing to surrender and dedicate their life to the Lord, I'm going to make it tough on you. I don't want you just to raise your hand. I don't want you just to stand up. But if you're willing to surrender your life for the Lord in whatever he calls you to do, I want you to, before every one of your peers, all of your friends, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come and stand here in the front. What kind of a preacher does that? What? Stupid. That's crazy. But I knew God called me. I knew God wanted me. And I was at a point in my life that ultimately, like what Joshua 24:15, you guys know what that verse is, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the God of Jehovah Jireh. That's the ultimate point of Joshua 24:15. And I said, okay, God. And I remember getting up out of my seat and came in all the way up. And there was others that it was a blessing. I stood next to several of my peers. And I said, all right, God, here am I. Use me. The tough part, though, say, wait, wasn't that the tough part? The toughest part was I knew very specifically in regards to where God called me. God's calling in my life was very, very pointed, very, very specific. I truly believe that God called me to work with young people, teens, their parents. And the hard part about teens, and I told you many of this, is teens, I thought, in my mind, teens are the toughest ones to work with. Young people are the hardest ones. And I've said this before, sometimes teens don't even like themselves, let alone somebody else. And I said, God, why give me the toughest job? Give me old people that can't hear. They can't see. I could smell however I want. They can't smell. God, give me something like that. Don't throw me to the lions. God, that's not fair. And again, that sweet Holy Spirit said, God, John, I'm the one that enables. I'm the one that'll go with you. You just got to be faithful. You just got to preach my words and be willing to be used by me. And I, like Moses, gave God every excuse. God, I can't talk. God, I don't do this. I can't do this. I can't do any of those things. But he said, John, I don't need to. I'll put my words in your mouth. You just be faithful and be willing to use. And so that night, it was Thursday, July 14th, 1987, I dedicated my life and I said, God, here am I. Use me. Use me. Allow me to, Lord willing, make an impact in my life. So you're there in Joshua 1:8. I know that my time is going away. I'm going to give you then my life verse. Joshua 1, verse number 8. And again, I'm not going to preach anything today that you've never heard before. So don't think that, oh, wow, he's going to give me something brand new, something that Brother Roberts has not already preached. I'm not. This is my life verse, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay? Joshua 1, 8 says this. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We come to this part of Joshua, and as you well know, Moses, the great servant of the Lord, has just died. He's just passed away. Moses that was so faithful, Moses that was so compassionate, Moses that, as the Bible said, there was not another prophet like unto Moses. Ginormous was Moses' impact on the nation of Israel. He was willing to put up with them through their grumblings, their murmurings, their disputings, all the yuck that they poured out on Moses. Yet, when we came to, I was just here in junior church with the kids, and as the nation of Israel had come to Mount Sinai, and God had given to Moses the Ten Commandments, and as Moses is up there getting the commandments from the Lord, the nation of Israel and Aaron ends up building a golden calf. And as they do such things, God tells Moses, Moses, quickly get yourself down from the mountain, for the people transgress, and it's not good. And as he goes down there, as you know, the story that goes there, Moses ends up breaking the Ten Commandments because of his absolute frustration with the sin of the people. And God tells Moses, hey, Moses, tell you what, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to kill them all. And Moses, I'm going to start again with you. This is important. It's not part of my message. If there would have been pride or arrogance in Moses' heart and mind, he would say, God, that's a good idea. Sure. Sounds good. We'll make a whole new thing. But you don't find that in Moses. You almost find a weeping, compassionate man of God that says, God, you can't. God, you can't. You promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you would bring these people into the land that we're about to go to. You promised this, and you've been faithful. And not only that, your great name is at stake. Because you said that you would do this and that, and you showed to the nation of Egypt who you are and what you have done and all this. God, you can't because of your amazing promises. I think that all of that was, again, to show Moses' wonderful heart that he had. It was not about him. It was about his God. And so as you then come to chapter 1, you find what I call great, ginormous shoes to fill. Moses has died. He is now handing over the reins to Joshua. And Joshua is like, wow, the task is enormous. The job is great. He now is going to not only need to go over the Jordan, which according to what we know, Jordan had overflowed its banks. The Jordan River was some say maybe even three times its normal size. So how do you get some maybe 2 million people to cross this river? And then you have the conquest of all of Canaan. Knowing full well that Joshua is going to need to bring these people in, people that have been not wholehearted. People that have been very, very wishy-washy, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, disputing, selfish people. And they're going to need to come and be obedient, faithful. And as Joshua comes to this point, I think that's the reason why you're going to find from verses 1 to verse number 10, you're going to find this idea of only be strong and very courageous mentioned over and over and over again. Because I think that if I was Joshua, I'd say, can you pick somebody else? Can you find somebody else? Moses was really, really good. But I don't know if I can do it. And I don't know if I want to do it. But God comes, and specifically in the last part of the last chapter of Deuteronomy, it was Moses that God chose. And when God chooses something, he doesn't do it by mistake. When God chooses something, he doesn't say, well, it's you, but if not you, I have plan B. No, God has you. And so Joshua then is going to be entering into Moses' ginormous shoes. And God then tells Moses these things. And as he writes, I believe specifically speaks chapter 1. The goal is the last part of verse number 8. Good success. Now, do you realize that that's the only time in the Bible that success is actually mentioned? You'll find prosperity, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You'll find prosperous many times mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned over and over and over. But true success, that last part, good success, this is the only time, as I've studied God's word, that success is actually mentioned in God's word. And it was that word right there that, as I wanted success in sports, as I wanted success in man's eyes, as I wanted success in what I believe John Logan's idea of success was, that died on July 14th, 1987. I had to come to the point where I realized it's not I, but it needs to be Christ. Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be known, be exalted. I am my own desires, my whole goals, my whole passion, my whole drive, my whole everything needed to die. And now I need to say, God, you direct me. God, you show me. God, you empower me. God, you enable me. And so more than anything else, I wanted to be successful. And it changed that night. And so I got a hold of this verse right here. And I realized, well, if I'm going to be successful, this is not talking about successful in man's eyes. Because you know what I just said is man's success. Man wants, we could go through the list. Man wants money. I talk to the teens about this every day. You often go for the almighty dollar. And often as you go through school and as you go through college, as you go through all these things, you are chasing the almighty dollar. And I said, look, one day it's going to burn. That house, dream house, that dream car, that dream boat, that dream whatever it is, maybe it's job, one day it's all going to pass away. And then comes eternity. What are you going to have to show for it? What are you going to have that's going to last? And if you come to 1 Corinthians, Paul says, look, we can, as Christians, we can lay up to ourselves wood, hay, or stubble. Or we can have that gold, precious stones, and that which one day will last, and we can cast at our Father's feet. And so above all, I wanted that success. And so as I looked at this verse, I thought, well, then according to this verse, how do we get success? How does a Christian truly have success? And if God says it's success, then that's what I want. So how can I do it? So very quickly, and again, I know my time is passing. Let's go through it real quick. Let's break through it real quick. It says, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You find two things in this. First of all, you have an understood you. How many of you in here like English? Do I have anybody? Any English people? Any English people? All right. In understood you, if you have a sentence that says, go to the store, what is the subject? You. Where do you find that in the sentence? Sentence doesn't say that. It says, go to the store. But the understood you is, hey, you are going to the store. You find that same thing in this when it says, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You find the first two points. One, in order to have this book of law not depart out of thy mouth, first of all, you have to read God's word. You've got to read God's word. Joshua only had the first five books of the Bible. He had the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all he had. And as God tells Joshua about success, he says, hey, Joshua, you've got to read God's word. I appreciate Cy. Cy preached some of the teen class this morning. I appreciate what Cy had to say, but he gave the importance of God's word. He gave the importance of reading God's word and studying God's word, and I'm thankful that he got that. I hope that he catches that for life. But you have the idea of reading God's word, and by the way, the statistics in regards to reading God's word for Christians are not good. The average Christian spends less than an hour a week reading God's word. How is that possible when the Bible says that God's word is supposed to be our everything? Job 23:12 said, Job says, I esteem God's word above my what? Does anybody know? Above my everyday food. You know one thing I've learned about you guys? You guys love to eat. That's not a knock. That's not a bad thing. You love to eat, and that's a good thing. But you know what the Bible says? Look, it says we should esteem God's word above our everyday eating. That means God's word and the reading of God's word should be more important to us than eating. Is it? Is it? My wife is a foodie. I call her a foodie. She hates me even talking about this, but that's right. She likes food. She likes not just food, but she likes special kinds of food and this kind of food and that kind of food and all these different things. And when I get to sit down and eat, food's okay. But I eat to live rather than some people live to eat. And there is a difference, by the way. But the Bible says we should live for this. This should be our main priority. This should be our top thing in every single day. The Bible, reading God's word, should be the most important thing. And I'm going to ask you, do you read it? When's the last time you had daily devotions? Not just family devotions, not for this or that. When's the last time you took God's word and opened it up and read it? I had a gentleman that we just started doing discipleship with, him and his wife. And as we just did, we've been doing discipleship for probably what, 3 months? 4 months with them. He just got saved about a year, year and a half ago. She got saved about 2 years ago. And as we done this discipleship with them, it was really, really awesome. This last Tuesday, he said, hey, by the way, Pastor John, can I meet with you real quick before we do our discipleship? I said, sure, Brother Aaron. whenever. I'm available whenever, however we can get. And so sure enough, he came in. He had literally just flown in from work. He hadn't even gotten a chance to meet his wife and kids, hadn't seen them all week. And he sat down and I said, "Brother Aaron, what gives? What's up? How can I help?" And he said, "Pastor John, I want to start reading God's word. Where do I start?" You talk about a happy birthday. I mean, that's fantastic. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Well, let's see. You could start with Genesis. You could start with John. You could start. And so I just started walking them through. I said, look, I would highly recommend you start in the book of John. And from the book of John, you then. And so I went through the whole thing. And by the way, he ended that conversation like, "I can't wait to get started." Is that you? He's only been saved about a year and a half, and he realizes the absolute essentialness of reading God's word. And I know he's a new Christian, and he's eager and excited. But I tell you what, I don't know if you've been saved 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, 50. Maybe somebody in here has been saved 80 years. That should still be our excitement. This God's word should still be our passion. It should drive us every single day. So the reading of God's word, the second part that you see that's in there, this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, you have memorization. In order for something not to leave it, you've got to keep it, grasp it, and it's got to have a firm control of you. You get that from memorizing God's word. When's the last time you memorized a verse in God's word? Now, I appreciate this morning you had a verse up there. I would highly recommend that if you don't have a Bible memorization program, that's a great start. Sunday morning, when that's up there, and you read that verse, mark that thing down and say, "Hey, I'm going to memorize verse X this week." Some of you may have a Bible memorization part. And again, this Bible memorization thing knows no age. You can be, how old are you? She's goofing around. Actually, she's doing, hangman. You're dead. Sorry. Remember, I'm a youth pastor. I'm used to working with kids. You don't bother me. That's fantastic. I hope it works out. I hope you don't die next time. But you can be 7, you can be 8, or you can be 88. You need to be memorizing God's word. Did you hear what I said? You need to be memorizing God's word. I'd highly recommend you finding a partner to do it with. Because two people will encourage one another. They'll challenge one another. Whether it's husband or wife, maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ. I don't care who it is. Find somebody that will help you in the importance of memorizing God's word and not let one another down. Memorize God's word. We encourage kids to memorize things in school all the time. Why is it that we often will put education above God's word? I'm not knocking education. But if this God's word is supposed to be more important than our food, then it should be more important than our everything. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The third point is the meditation on God's word. That word meditate actually has the idea of ruminate. Now, you all have a lot of cows here in Texas. That's great. I come from both Wisconsin and Michigan. And as you guys have a lot of meat cows, we have a lot of dairy cows. Ours smells just the same, all right? Stinks just as such. And there was a time as I was about 16, 17 years old that my dad thought that I should learn the appreciation of a farm. And so we had a farmer that we knew. He was part of our Bible quizzing that we did every month amongst the teens and stuff like that. And so he said, "John, you and Jesse, my younger brother, I'm going to drop you off for 2 weeks at the Wisman's Dairy Farm, and I want you to work, and I told the farmer already, don't pay you." Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. And I got to learn the true value of a farm. You get up at a very, very ungodly time. And when you're done, at the end of the day, you literally crawl into bed. And the alarm clock goes way off way too early in the next morning. And in the whole process of learning the farm, especially in regards to the dairy farm, and they milk cows three times a day, what I learned is the value of milk. And I learned the importance of feeding the cows and when they feed the cows and how they feed the cows and what they feed the cows. But what was really, really cool in that whole process is learning about this idea of rumination. The idea of rumination is where that cow grabs that hay, chews on that hay, and then swallows the hay. Then the cow will lay down. And after the cow lays down and he's there for a little while, all of a sudden, that hay that they had just chewed on and munched on comes back up into their mouth. And that cow will then chew on that again. Chew on it, chew on it. Looks like the cow's doing nothing. I, as a little kid, always thought the cow's so lazy. But no, she was actually doing something, chewing, 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 and then she swallows it again. After a little while longer, sure enough, that comes back up into that cow's mouth. And it'll chew on it more and more and more and more till that cow has literally, by chewing and literally crushing that hay, he will get all of the good and the nutrients that are found in that hay or the corn or whatever it is, and literally will literally pull it all out. Not only will her body digest a lot of it, but all of that good stuff eventually ends up where? In the milk. And if you've ever had good milk, you get the benefits of it. The Bible says here in Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." It's meditate on God's word day and night. So not only should we read God's word, but not only should we memorize God's word, but then we should ponder it, meditate, go over and over, think about it. Has the idea of digesting God's word. Making it so we're literally pulling out all of that which is good. And by the way, there's nothing bad in God's word. That's a P.S. There's nothing bad in God's word. So you're literally trying to find all of the treasures, all of that which is found in God's word. And I have been studying God's word faithfully for 40 some years. And you know something? Every time I come to God's word, I find something new. I find something that is refreshing. And how come I didn't see that before? I have read that verse many, 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 many times. Man, that is exciting to see. Wow, that is amazing. And the more you study God's word, the more you ponder it and think about it and meditate on it. By the way, it says meditating on it day and night. That is the same thing that you find in Genesis chapter 1. Day and night refers to a whole 24 hours. All right, we should literally be meditating on God's word the whole day. So when you have your devotions, it shouldn't be a devotions where, look, I just check off the box and God, I'm good. See you later. No, it has the idea of allowing God's word to literally ponder, meditate, think on, ruminate on God's word all day long. And this is what I would consider the best part of the whole thing. Once you've read God's word, you've memorized God's word, you've meditated on God's word, this is where the warning comes. It says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Cross-reference would be that of James. The book of James, where James says, look, be doers of the word. Brother Robert already mentioned that this morning. Be doers of the word of God, not just what? Hearers only. Okay? This idea and what I find is not only the positive, but the negative. The doing is that which, look, We've read God's word. We study God's word. Now we're applying it. We're applying God's word to our hands, our feet, our mouth, our actions, our reactions that are going to come because of God's word. But the opposite is that of a bobblehead. Anybody ever know what a bobblehead is? Anybody ever seen a bobblehead? A bobblehead are those weird characters. They got this ginormous head and a small torso. Okay? And my fear is that in 2020, 2024, 1990s, we could go all the way through, that as Christians, we've come into church. We have faithfully and diligently sat in the pews. We've had God's word preached to us. And so therefore, we have this intellectual taking in of God's word in the head. But we haven't worked it out in our hands and our feet. We've got great head knowledge of God's word. But we haven't done anything with God's word. Did you hear what I just said? We're faithful in coming to church. We're faithful in listening to God's word preached. But do we live it out in our life? Has it impacted or affected our family, our extended family, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors? And my fear is that we are in 2024 and we have a lot of Christians that are bobbleheads. Bobbleheads useless. It shows a misproportion, something that's wrong. And you say, well, Pastor John, is it maybe just the problem in Michigan? Maybe. Maybe. But I fear no. I fear no. I fear that our problem is we do sometimes a decent job of being faithful in coming to church. But once we leave and darken the doors outward of church, that we leave our Bible and we go on our own merry way. Failing to allow the Word of God to impact our lives. So therefore, we have become hearers of the word of God. But as James stated, we are no longer doers of God's word. So it says, look, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That keyword, all. It's absolutely vital. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Again, this idea of both prosperity, as I looked and restudied this, this idea of prosperity has the idea of to conquer. And what was Joshua about ready to do with the nation of Israel? He was needing to conquer the land of Canaan. And God promised that if they would follow his words and be obedient to him and do that which he said, that he said there won't be able to be anybody that'll be able to withstand you. Not anybody. And I tell you what, the nation of Israel were not a warrior people. They were shepherding people. Okay, they were used to taking care of sheep and goats and cattle and all that stuff. But the Canaanites were a warrior people. Legit warrior people. They knew how to do it. From the Canaanites, you have, for those of you who have ever been in Sunday school, Goliath. He was part of the Philistines. And him and his brothers were ginormous. They knew how to fight. They were gifted in the art of fighting. And yet God said, look, if you are faithful to me, and if these words abide in you and you are obedient to them and you stick with what I tell you to do, there won't be anybody that'll be able to withstand you. If you were to read the rest of this, he goes, look, if needs be, I will bring in hornets and drive them out with bees. And as you fast forward it and you go on even into the where King David comes, and as he takes over, you realize that some of the battles that King David had against the people that are around there, that David didn't even have to do certain things. God did it for him. He said, stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch, just watch what I will do. That way man doesn't get the glory, I get all the glory. God wanted to show himself strong. God wanted to show himself powerful to these people. But they had to do it God's way. They had to follow God's blueprint. And God's blueprint was this. So, my friends, if you want to be successful, and again, I warn you, there is a big, big difference between what the world says is success and what God says is success. For God, this is it. God's word. We esteem it more. My time is closing. But I tell you what, if you go quickly to the book of Colossians, real quick, I'm going to read this verse because I think it's so like an echo of Joshua 1:8. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. It says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then as you live it out, it says, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. It says, let the word of Christ dwell. That has to do with the idea of abiding. That means God's word stays in you. And it stays in you not weakly, not partially, but it says dwells in you richly, lavishly. That means it's seen in everything that you do. If you've ever been to a rich person's house, and I have, I've been in several houses that were multi-millionaires. When you go in the very front of their house, you know what? You can see their riches in everything that's in that house. From the chandelier to their ornament this and lavishly done this, and all of that which is there is literally screams, I've got money. The Bible says, when I look and when God and other people even look at your life, it should scream that God's word is dwelled in us. It permeates every aspect of our life. If you cut us open, we would bleed God's word. Can I ask you, my dear friend? By the way, as I preach this morning, I'm not preaching to get a job. I'm just going to be honest with you. It doesn't matter whether you vote yes or no today. I don't care. Brother Miss Kelly, you know that. Okay? Doesn't matter. But you know what is so, so, so important to me? That you grab a hold of God's word and you allow God's word to change you, transform you, live in and through you. And if you do that, I don't care if you're 8 years old or if you're 88, you will be a success in God Almighty's eyes. One day, you will stand before him, and every single one of us is going to. One day, you will stand before God. And if you allow the word of God to dwell in you richly, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You say, Pastor John, how can you know that? It's because God's the one that says, this is how you get success. This is it. It's his blueprint. And if he promised it, he is faithful and he will do it. And one day, you'll have that awesome privilege of hearing those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you cast it away and you choose what John Loggins wanted to choose at the very beginning, choosing to go my own way, yeah, the world may hail you. Yeah, the world may say, oh, you're fantastic, you're wonderful, that's awesome. Yeah, look at all that you got or whatever. But one day it's going to burn. One day it's going to burn. Father, I'm so thankful that you got a hold of my heart, my life. Thank you for not only saving me as an 8-year-old boy, but Father, thank you for never giving up on me as you called and drew me to yourself, that you didn't stop. Your love for me, your fact that you knew me intimately and then allowed me the opportunity to serve you. I am thankful. I am grateful. Thank you for this particular verse that has so made an impact on my life that I want to be a success in your eyes. Father, my prayer is not just me, but my prayer is that these boys and these girls, these teenagers, these moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, those of that are here today would say, that's my prayer. That's my heart's desire. I want the Word of God to dwell in my heart richly. Today, by God's grace, I'm going to purpose, as Daniel purposed in Daniel 1:8, I'm going to purpose that every single day I'm going to make God's Word a priority in my heart, my mind. I'm going to make it a priority that I'm going to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in me richly. Father, may that be our prayer. Brother Robert.
If you will, at this time, let's stand together. We're going to enter into a time of response. And if the Lord has moved in your heart, perhaps the Lord's called you to ministry. Maybe you've been dealing with that for a while and you're confirming it this morning. Perhaps you're trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. And through the message, the Lord has prompted you to respond to Him. We're going to take time to respond this morning, and so let's bow together. And Brother Houston will lead us. Father, we enter now into a time of responding to your movement in our midst for several months now. We pray for wisdom. We pray, Father, that we will obey as you prompt us. Father, may your Spirit accomplish your purposes in our midst, and you be glorified. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We are entering now into a time of business. I will ask you to be seated. The search committee will be coming by and handing two church members, and listen, this is a church matter, so church members only will be voting on this issue. The ballot will read, Edna First Baptist Church calls John Loggins to be our youth and associate pastor. And there is a yes and there's a no. Now, there's a space by the yes. Don't check it. Circle the word yes or the word no, but circle the word. And the tellers will be out there, and they will tally these up as soon as we get them to them. And so, committee, please pass these out to church members. And while those are being filled out, we just ask you to be prayerful as you do that. 208 votes.
207 said yes.
207 said yes. 1 said no. 99.5%. So you have voted in the affirmative for Brother John Loggins. Now we have to hear from John as to whether he says yes or not. Brother John is on his way down the aisle here.
And I told the committee that helped to bring us this far that they had to come up with me. So I am truly, come on up here. You are part of the whole thing. Wait, we're missing somebody. Oh, yeah, there we are. Excellent. Do we have everybody? And so I can say not only thank you, I already said my thanks to Brother David because I am overtly thankful for him. But I can thank all of these wonderful people from Courtney all the way through to Brother Curtis. Thank you so much for making my family feel welcome. Okay? Truly. You guys have a special church. You know how many churches I've been in and preached at and done all across the United States? Many. You're a one of a kind. That's a blessing. Keep it that way. As Brother Pastor Robert directs you and tries to encourage you in the things of the Lord, keep it that way. And according to our vote of our family, well, it's not just all four of us. I had other input. We say yes. So thank you.
All right. There you have it. We're grateful that you have come. Thank you, John, for participating in the process and family. Thank you. We look forward to meeting all of you and learning to know you better and to learn names. And remember names. Well, they have to remember a lot of names. So let me pray and ask God's blessing as the process continues. Listen, they have to move down. There have to be arrangements made, a home to be sold. There's a lot of things that have to go on, so we'll be in touch with them regarding those. Father, we entrust all that to your care and your wisdom as we have before. And Lord God, continue to direct, to give wisdom. Father, we pray safety for this family as they travel and move back and forth. We pray, Lord God, that you would provide for them and the needs that come up. Lord God, we just trust you with all of these matters. And Lord God, where we have responsibility in that, we pray that we're found faithful. Lord God, as we look to the days ahead, as we'll serve together, we pray that you are glorified in all things. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood shed, for his resurrection, and for him coming again one day. Lord God, we owe you everything, and we pray thanking you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.